1968, when I was 26 years old, my husband and two daughters perished in a fire. Paul, Lacey, and Lynn all died. Gone in a flash, in a senseless accident. Gone from my life forever. Until recently, I had taken pride in the belief that I had moved on with my life. After all, the tragedy had occurred many years before, and people are expected to push away the memories and let time heal all things. People are expected to recover and find the strength and the will to keep going on with their lives. And that's exactly what I had done, or thought I had done, until lately. It was after I retired and was diagnosed with atherosclerosis that the old ghosts began to awaken and lift their heads, especially deep in the night. They brought back the darkness, the guilt, and the regret. As I lay in bed, I could smell the spring scent of the girls as they slept. I could see Paul lingering in a shadowy corner, his expression tender, his fingers beckoning. My sick heart began to ache, just as it had all those years ago. I knew I should have bypass surgery, but I kept putting it off. I don't know why. I'm usually aggressive and a good problem solver. I'm not a procrastinator. But as the days progressed, I awoke to the disheartening realization that my heart had never truly mended. It was still broken, as shattered as it was on Wednesday, June 5th, 1968. What truly hurts and has been broken cannot be cured by bypass surgery. In 1968, I was one of the few women who worked for the NSA in Fort Meade, Maryland. I was the only female linguist analyst. I had always been proficient in languages and spoke French, German, and Spanish fluently. While NSA stands for the National Security Agency, we often called it no such agency, because we were a secret agency responsible for tracking communists, peace activists, black and white radicals, civil rights leaders, and even drug peddlers. My job, specifically, was focused on crypto systems and intelligence interpretation. As the volumes of data came flooding in, I extrapolated and distilled it into clear, concise, and potentially useful facts. It wasn't easy, and it took hours and weeks and months to sort through the often trivial and useless mountains of files and codes to find only a word or a sentence or a series of numbers that were worthy of being quarantined or flagged as possibly urgent and valuable. I was good at it. Not my words, but my boss's words, Stephen Case's words. There were no personal computers in 1968, and although we had some impressive technology for our day, it couldn't compare with the technological capabilities of today. In those days, intelligence gathering was tedious, time-consuming, mind-numbing, and impressionistic at best.